Hey there, I'm Matthew Foley and this is ISO Insights, where God's truth grows in the midst of current culture, renewing the mind and spirit.
Welcome back to ISO Insights. We've got another episode here, and we have Pastor Adam Bauer, he is returning from Praise Community Church in York, Pennsylvania. How you doing, Pastor Adam?
I'm doing incredible.
Yeah, we actually, this is always surreal to do. We're filming this back-to-back, but it will be released significantly farther down the line from the one that was filmed beforehand. So it's always a funny feeling to like try to reproduce that feeling of newness at the beginning of the podcast that happens.
We're going to just keep building up steam. We're going to be good here.
I think this is going to be a great one. And so in this episode, I want to pivot in my mind to talk about the gifts of the Spirit, because we've had Pastor Adam to come and actually teach a course about the gifts of the Spirit. He's taught a course also about pastoral epistles. So go check that out at isow.org, iso.org. But what I want to talk about, Pastor Adam, so we've talked about this before. I'm not trying to retread old ground. And you just go wherever. If you want to completely change the subject, I'd be fine with that, because I trust you like that. But when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, when it comes to how we actually should practically operate, first of all, are the gifts meant for, let's just start on one, because I was listening to 1 Corinthians 14 this morning, and this is a big one, speaking in tongues. It's a sign to the believer and not to the unbeliever, but it also says sometimes the unbeliever, you know, like there are times where people have stories where they speak in a language and an unbeliever hears it and gets saved. What's going on? How do you operate in such a mysterious gift? And how do the different gifts like prophecy, those kind of related gifts, how do we need to operate in those?
Yeah, I think it's funny, because now that we have like AI translators, and now it's interesting to translate a tongue. I know just this happened the other day, that somebody was speaking and they were speaking Italian and they were speaking tongues over somebody. And what they were saying in Italian was, the Holy Spirit is washing over you. The Holy Spirit is washing over you, like over and over again. But they were just speaking in tongues, you know, and I just thought that was really interesting. So anyway, use technology, it comes to tongues.
That's awesome.
Let me say this. If we're not like, oh man, I just heard a testimony the other day, but it's like sometimes the tongue that we have is to edify ourselves, right? And I've certainly when there's nobody else around and we don't know what to pray and we just start speaking in tongues and the Lord just comes and just begins to strengthen us in the midst of that. That is absolutely awesome. When it comes to the church, what I believe that the tongue should be so powerful that it should leave us in awe. When it doesn't, I have questions. Now, I'm not Mr. Judge of the Tongues, right? So please, I don't want anybody to come across that way. But if we're going to interrupt a service and we're going to share a tongue and that tongue is spoken and the interpretation is given and we're not all like, oh, you know what I mean? Like, oh my goodness. Like that's exactly what the Lord is doing. So there's the expression of the tongue, the interpretation of it, and then the application of it. If there's no application or an altar call or something that we do in response to it, I don't know if we actually did what we should have done with it. Wow. You know, then there should be testimony from it. And then people know, like, you know how the devil can disguise himself in an angel, like as an angel of light. Like, you know what he doesn't do is heal people. Mm-hmm. He doesn't like crush addiction. He doesn't get people saved. He doesn't fill people with the Holy Spirit. So when people share with me spiritual experience, but there's not a testimony of, and this is God because this spirit ended up doing what God does, I get to question it. Mm-hmm. So when someone tells me they said, hey, I just saw an angel, it unzipped this, and then this happened on the sky and it fell into the meeting. And I'm like, well, okay. And then, right?
Wow.
What happened because of that?
Wow.
And if we can't attach it to a testimony, I don't have to validate it.
Wow.
Okay, so like we're really, really big on testimony.
That's awesome.
Do you mind if I just talk to you about prophecy a little bit?
Go in. Yeah, be free.
Because this is the one gift that we're told to pursue or desire, excuse me, we're pursuing love, desiring. So we're pursuing this image of becoming more and more like Christ, love, right? That's our number one concern, but we're supposed to desire the spiritual gift of prophecy. Prophecy is actually lifted above a lot of these gifts. It's in that one statement. It's shocking because you want the eye to notice the toe, and you want this and you want that. And it tells us to all desire it because I believe that we can all speak what God is saying to somebody. And I believe it's powerful, and I believe people need it. And I believe that you can create a prophetic community in which Satan will actually abandon that area to go pick on a different one because too many people are edifying each other. There's such a culture of edification that the enemy can't get in and say what he wants to say because people are too busy prophesying.
Wow.
And saying what the Lord is saying. That I believe that's actually possible. I'm not saying we've developed it. What I'm saying is when I walk into a room, I should be saying this: how can I edify these people?
Wow. That's really strong. And I guess the reason I opened up with tongues is because of it's so commonplace. But I also think, and there's people that...
It depends where you're at. Right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, in the sphere that I'm in, I'll put it that way.
In that river.
Yeah, in the river that I'm in, it's really commonplace. And furthermore, I think there's people that have written papers in my river about like tongues kind of almost being this gate of the gifts of the Spirit. And it being almost this leading into a lot of the other gifts. And I think it's interesting that, you know, it's listed in 1 Corinthians at the bottom of the list, which I don't think necessarily like denigrates it. But the reason I mention that is when you mention prophecy, Scripture does say we should pursue greater gifts. And Paul says like prophecy's better. And what's so interesting is, I'll just put it this way. I think we deal with a lot of false prophecy. And I've like talked to the Lord before. I've had it happen in my life where people would try to tell me things. And I'll try to preface here so you know where I'm going. Because I'm not saying like, I believe in the charismatic gifts of the Spirit. I believe in that. But when I say false prophecy, I see so many times people, they're kind of two extremes. People are either like, well, listen, if you're only sharing these positive, good vibes all the time, that's not what the prophets of the Bible did. You know, they shared hard words. And there's an other side that says, let me tell you something. These people that have been saying judgment have been coming to the country for 100 years. They don't know what they're talking about because it's not like they've made all these predictions, all of them fall to the ground. But here's what I'll say, because I'm not going to pretend to fully grasp that. What I do know is Paul, when he talked to the Corinthians, he mentioned, the importance of like love and humility in carrying out the gifts of the Spirit. And even like at 2 Corinthians, he talked about his heavenly experience, but he made such a big deal of the fact that he didn't like to talk about it. So the reason I mention that is like you just said, there's such a practical approach you have to the gifts where you're like, okay, but if it doesn't actually produce fruit and there's no bottom line, then what's the point? And I think in an environment...
Well, then the point...
Yeah.
I'm sorry. The point could be this, that we need to appear a certain way so that we feel comfortable with the meeting we had.
Wow. And that's pride.
That could be the point.
Isn't that pride?
Yeah, that is.
And so it's like yeah. Okay, well, people do that. Like, that's one thing I kind of wanted to dive in here. Like, I think that... you guys seem to have a very strong culture. I've not been there in person, but I've heard a lot of testimonies. A strong culture of like, yeah. We're going to pursue the gifts because we've seen people's lives be transformed, and this is what Scripture tells us to do. But there's a lot of traditional environments where people kind of have this example of the gifts, but it's not really, there's not a lot of critical discussion about how they're walked in, how they're walked out. So I feel like that there's oftentimes people that will speak dramatically and like be like, I'm prophesying right now. No disrespect. But what if prophecy is supposed to be far more commonplace and less about the evoking this kind of dramatic, I'm a prophet, and more about, hey, what if we had a community, like you said, that corrects, prophesies, and shares that heart? Well, that kind of brings prophecy down to this common level, but it also takes away that weird kind of pride that people have, like, look at me, I hear from God, you know?
Yeah. Well, we were in a staff meeting the other day, and somebody, like, I was sitting there. My wife likes to know who's pregnant and when, right? So we're just at the staff meeting, and this girl starts to speak, and I said, "Excuse me, I'm sorry." I said, "You don't look pregnant, but did you tell us that you're pregnant, or was that a dream?" And she was just like, and she just started to blush, and I was like, "And if you are," and I wasn't supposed to say anything, like, I really apologize, but my wife likes to know when people are pregnant, and she believes that she was, right? But it's, she's like, you know, 8 days past her period, and mm-hmm. you know, and it hadn't come yet, so she really believed she was, and she hadn't taken the test yet. But it was very encouraging for her to hear me say that, you know.
Yeah.
But if you don't take chances, and that's what people don't want to be wrong, and that's pride, right? Like, I was just in a counseling session. I felt a slight tweak in my, the slightest twinge in my back. And the person I was counseling, I said, "Do you have back pain in the middle of your back?" And they said, "I do." I said, "Can I pray for you?" Right? And it's like, people will feel a twinge or feel something in their body and not speak up. And maybe it's because it's ignorance and they don't know it's a word of knowledge. But if you never speak up, you never get to find out if the Lord's talking. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's, pride ends up keeping us from looking foolish. And if you're not willing to look foolish, then here's what keeps me from looking foolish is the humility in me asking, "Hey, I could be wrong, but do you have pain in your back?" "No, you don't." "Okay, sorry, my mistake." Not, "Thus saith the Lord, you have pain in your back right now."
Yeah.
You know, like, who wants that, you know? And I'm not, but like, again, there's different flavors. Like, some people love it, and like, that's what they're used to. And so I'm not against it either. I'm just saying, like, I want to care for the person I'm ministering to more than coming across in a certain flavor.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think love's involved.
Yeah. I agree. Like, and the reason I said that was not to like down any particular group or stream, but I think like, you got to be careful because I do think God gives words that are very strong, very dramatic, and serve a very clear purpose to the church. Like, if somebody gets up, and I've been in services where this has happened. I've been among Christians where the Holy Spirit grips somebody. They start to speak in tongues and the interpretation is really strong and corrective. Mm-hmm. Or a prophetic word's given. Everybody in the room can tell this is legitimately the Lord. And I do think the Lord has those levels where, just like Pentecost, you know, he steps down and he does something that's like clearly divine intervention. But I think God also, like, if we were physically transported to first century Judea and we saw how Christians did the day-to-day life, I think that what you're talking about would have been far more likely. And if everybody, this is what I was trying to say earlier, if everybody, people probably were like, "Hey, brother, I'm feeling this today for you. Just let me know if this bears witness with your spirit," you know, and they were trying to minister to each other. But I feel like that if people get too strong and that every time I open my mouth to like encourage everybody, it's got to be dramatic. It's got to be like divine intervention. Then you can, because of that, like pride, wanting to be perceived a certain way, step into error. Like, God's not helping you out. You know, you're actually on your own.
Yeah. So this is what I would say to you too. Like, I know that your wisdom around the word is intense. And I every time I go to like say, you know, scripture says, I'm always like, and please correct me if I'm wrong, you know, and your ability to memorize it, and it's God's anointing upon you, is this wisdom around the word. And I think the reason why you're very into practicality is because there's something in you that wants to see people have practical tools to understand the word better, to apply it, right? And so that's an edification word I'm giving to you. I could be wrong, but I feel like you're coming to this conclusion, or God's speaking to you, that there's a gap that's missing in people's understanding of the word and the practical applying it of their life. And I feel like God's going to begin to give you tools to help people get there. Mm. And so like, that's a word to you. Now, how cool would it be if you were in a prophetic community and then two other people said the same thing to you?
Wow. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because just because I said it, that's just one witness. Like, maybe it's bearing witness to you, but how cool would that be if somebody else bared witness to it also?
Mm.
And that's what I think people, if somebody says something to me, cool, great. Like, we'll see. And it's like, when two people say the same thing to me, holy moly, like the fear of the Lord comes upon me.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what I think we're missing, is that we don't have a prophetic culture in which even God can find two or three witnesses to actually witness to one another.
Wow.
You know, because like people aren't concerned with it, you know.
That's all.
Awesome. So that's what I think, like why it's important to have a prophetic culture is just so God can even have the opportunity to give somebody two or three witnesses on something.
Man.
And then that is so important to take place. I remember Dr. Brian Cutshall talk. His testimony was probably about the dream I had of him. Do you remember that testimony?
Yeah, I do. I think you could tell. You could share it again if you want to.
Yeah, one of the reason why I bring it up is because sometimes the word has the confirmation in it, and like there's a word of knowledge that I shouldn't know accompanying the word that actually verifies that it's from the Lord. So I didn't know Dr. Brian Cutshall, what he was involved in, ISO, the ramp, any of that stuff. And when he came to the church, I said, I had a dream about you last night. And I didn't think it was a word. I said it was a prophetic dream, but I don't know why I said that. Maybe I was trying to sound impressive, but I didn't. As I started to share it, I was like, oh, this is so stupid. And it was about him and a ramp made out of stone. And there was a rampart, and it was the ramp led up a wall, and it was a rampart. And he was standing at the top, and he put the last stone in. Well, that was so many words of knowledge that were in that for him that like he said that he wanted to run around the room, right? It was just a silly dream I had. I had no idea that it meant anything to him, but it was filled with so many words of knowledge, and it was very encouraging to him. So it was a prophetic dream, but it had every confirmation he needed needed it in it.
Wow.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Wow.
So just when in line with the prophetic, the words of knowledge can affirm, and by two or three witnesses, it can affirm.
Thank you so much for watching ISO Insights, ISO Bible College's podcast. And I wanted to let you know about something that we offer, making it easy for you to see the rest of the courses that we have sampled in our videos here on our YouTube channel. You can use our All Access Pass, which you can find more about both in the description below and at isow.org, our website. By using the All Access Pass subscription, $99 a month will get you full access to all of our course catalogs. So please do go over and check out our All Access Pass at iso.org. I think that's really interesting. How do you encourage like people in the church when they're coming in and they're not familiar with any of the gifts of the Spirit, and they're like, wow, this is super different. But it's like self-explanatory when God speaks to you. So you're like, oh my gosh, yeah. Two or three people that don't know me just like told me, read my mail. You know, they know exactly what's going on in my personal life. How do you transition?
That's like, the example that's given, right?
Yeah. Like how do
like
you—
Like in the Word. Wow. Like, and they fall down and say, God is surely in this place. That's the community that we're supposed to have.
Wow.
You know, isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
So— I'm sorry. I started getting excited. Ask me the question again.
No, you're good. Because I think about that. Because you've mentioned that before, like where Paul says, you know, whenever you have people like laying out the hidden things in a person's heart, they're going to like fall on the ground and proclaim that God is in your midst. So I'm like, okay, well, if that's the case, like imagine, I was asking you, what is it like when you see people? Do you see just the Holy Spirit train them? Because I could be over technical, like making something way too technical when you're trying to like, do you find you have to lead people and talk to them about how the gifts operate and explain it? Or is it just boom, the Holy Spirit starts dropping in?
People want explanation. People want understanding so they feel confident, right? But 90% of it is trying. So it's like, hey, try.
Wow.
Just try.
Wow.
And it's like, but I'm telling you, when you start to try, the enemy comes and he always shows you the worst case scenario that could possibly happen. He'll run that right through your head. A spirit of fear comes upon you. And it's like, this person's going to laugh at you. This person's going to say, get in my face. No, this person doesn't want prayer. They're going to yell at you. And you're like, oh, you know, and I better not do it then. And it's like, no, like the enemy is looking for people who have courage so that he can crush it. And he doesn't have to contend with a lot of people. Right. Because that's like that's like a rare commodity is courage. And so all he's got to do is put a spirit of fear on those who are trying to express courage.
Wow.
And if you can get enough people that are willing to act courageous, and again, humility is the key. You just say like, hey, I could be wrong. Like, hey, I had an impression that maybe God was trying to say this to you. If I said that to you before that word, would it have been any less impactful?
No.
It's just like, oh, thanks for the, you would have caused you to actually listen more.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you know? I would have been like, okay, so this dude's not like just the end of the world is nigh, like holding a sign by the highway. Like this is just a normal dude who doesn't want to appear weird.
Yeah.
Who's trying to share something important with me.
Yeah.
That's how
I perceive
it.
Yeah. And so that humility is what can partner with courage in an awesome way.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's what I want to see for people is just like, just have humility, present yourself that you're trying to hear from the Lord. Because if there's someone out there that's hearing perfectly, my goodness, like make them the president so that we can get rolling here, you know? Like it's not hard to appear where you are and then there's no pressure. And that's what I think people miss out on. It's like, no, you can just, you know, you don't have to think of yourself more highly than you ought. You can judge yourself with sober judgment and just come in saying this. When I gave you that word, it wasn't a stretch. That wasn't like, hey, like tomorrow you're going to be in your pajamas all day, right? Like it was just a word that had a lot of natural information in it. But I actually believe that God is actually either you are creating tools or you're going to create tools. Mm-hmm. And if you're not, and that doesn't bear witness, you can say, hey, Adam, I don't think you were right on that. And I'd say, thank you for the feedback. I'm going to try to do better. You know?
Wow. That's really good. That's really good. Cause how many, like, that's a word for me. And, you know, my wife and I are funny about this. Like she came from a household where, man, they really, love the Lord and they believe in like hearing from the Lord. And it's like correcting one another, like that kind of family culture where they're like, okay, I feel like the Lord said this to me about you. He's been dealing with me, you know? And so they'll very openly talk to one another. Well, you know, after we got married, my family, you know, we were Pentecostal. So, but there was this kind of culture I had to get used to where, and I love it, by the way, I need to say that I love it a lot, but it is that culture of accountability, but it also comes from that place of taking a risk and being humble. And that's the choice of, I really believe God's dealing with me about this right now or that, or I feel like we could do this better. And that's how God can speak to a group of believers. That's what I'm trying to like get at here.
Yeah.
Like I've seen like a measured degree of that in our relationship, but what about like the whole church? That's what God intends. And how many churches really don't know how to step out into that where everybody is being there for one another?
Yeah. I don't think that we can be there for everybody. I think we can be there. I think that's why small groups are important. I think like we do have a pastoral care team and we do, if you have a need, we'll come up and we'll meet the need, but it's more programmatic, but relationships is something that we're called to steward. And then I get to decide what the relationship's going to be. Like I get to decide, you know, with three people, hey guys, I'm going to just be fully, fully invested in you. I'm going to live my life in front of you. And I want you to hold me to an extreme accountability. You know, if you see anything in my life, please point it out. And I trust them. We've built that relationship. Again, my executive pastor has this thing. It's relationship leads to trust. Trust leads to transparency. Transparency leads to accountability. Because if we can't be transparent, then you can't really hold me accountable, you know?
You just said something that, like, it clicked for me in a different way, and I'm just going to, like, reiterate it and mention it back to you and, like, highlight the part that really just impacted me. So you were like, you can't do it for everybody, and then you said, I choose about three good people. Like, I choose three people, and we steward that relationship. So for me, this may sound crazy to you, but because of like, I was raised around a lot of strong evangelism preaching, got to win souls for the kingdom. And that's true. But like, I don't feel like that I also got the same degree of preaching about relationships inside the church. And one of the things that you just said, this is the part that hit me, is the reality of relationships is the only way you can have them like you need to is to have boundaries and a limitation of how many people you're trying to invite into your inner circle of influence and like that reciprocity between you and that person. In other words, like there's a limit, but that also means you have to really pray about, okay, God, who are you calling me to connect with? Who are you calling me to be close to, even within the church? And Jesus did that with like 12 and then three, you know, like 12 disciples and then three men. So it's like, okay, well, if that's the case, if relationships are a choice and there's something God wants us to pursue, the gifts, this is the part I was kind of getting to. The gifts aren't just like for evangelizing. Like Paul says, we actually use them inside the body of Christ. So aren't like the gifts of the Spirit meant for us to also like encourage each other in those relationships you're talking about, those close relationships? Like, are we meant to wake up and say, God, what word do you have for me for John today?
Yeah, I feel like... So just imagine this. Like, you're on a staff, right? And you're in staff meeting. You've been waking up, you've been pursuing love consistently. It is your main goal, and you're kind of aware of it during the day. It took a while for that to take place. And so you're showing up to a meeting, not hoping that people talk to you and ask you about this or that, but you show up really hoping that God uses you in a way that is able to love somebody well. Mm-hmm. And when someone's starting to share what they're going through, your heart is fully engaged with them, and there's a compassion that's there. And all of a sudden you feel like you might have something to say to it, and you just let it rip because you're like, hey, this could be the Lord. I just want to share this with you. Like, I know you're going through this financial struggle, and I know that you've been tithing, and I know that you've been giving. I want you to know that you're going to come through this bottleneck season. And this is what I feel like the Lord says. And this is what I feel like he knows about you. And you share something that you shouldn't know, and only they know. And all of a sudden, like, they're edified by your word and hopeful, and they believe what God in his word says. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I'm not saying we should just prophesy. I think we should practice with that tight group, but we should be outward with our gifts whenever we can be, you know? And again, like, if you want to get militant with those three people, you could say this: hey guys, we're going to try to express the gifts every day. We're going to do a check-in at the end of the day and say, hey, I'm doing a journal right now, and there's 9 blocks on this journal. The first 3 are prayer, scripture reading, stewardship, a to-do list. Those are daily. And then below it is like, who do you need to check in on? Who do you need to encourage? How can you serve? Like, what environments can you serve in? And then at the bottom is, how can you go above and beyond in loving somebody? How can you have an act of courage or boldness?
Wow.
And it's not about doing everything on the list. It's just saying, let's set our intentions at the beginning of the day. Can we commit to doing an act of boldness every day with the gifts, where we at least try? And we'll share the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. At the end of the night, we'll just send each other voice texts about how it went, you know? And if you're hitting 50%, oh my goodness, like, being used by God in a mighty way. That's awesome. Quarter of the time, incredible. Like, 1 out of 10, like, come on, like, you're growing, you know? Like, it's a matter of trying and encouraging each other around being bold.
Wow.
You know, and if you don't have that with somebody, it's hard to do it on your own.
Man.
You know, because sometimes we do a better job of not disappointing others, and but we're fine with disappointing ourselves, you know? Wow. So sometimes we just need that positive peer pressure to run alongside of us.
There's headed towards closing for this episode. There's a statement that you've always made. And by the way, just so you know, like, me and my wife, we like repeat this to one another. So it's been like that impactful, but we've like mentioned this to ourselves before. Heaven doesn't rejoice when you step out and people get healed or a word was like on point. Heaven rejoices because you stepped out. Like, that's the moment. Yeah. Heaven starts clapping and saying, that's right, because you were bold and you were courageous. When you taught that, I was like, Dad, Gump, that's amazing. I was like, I need to carry that around with me.
Yeah. They saw you formed. They're not impressed with arms and legs appearing. They've seen it happen, right? And they're not impressed with healing, because that's all they understand. And they're not impressed with accuracy and truth, because that's all they understand. They're not impressed with knowing the future because they already see it.
Mm-hmm.
But when somebody is obedient, that's the evidence that they love God. And when they see your love for him, they just go bananas, you know? And so it's a win-win. Yeah, I'll just share this. I was teaching a whole bunch of people were involved in the MIP program. Do you know what that is in the Church of God?
Yeah, yeah.
And so all these young pastors were – and when I was just talking, I was saying, hey, here are the 20 things I wish somebody would have told me before I became a pastor. And one of those 20 things was you don't get to see God unless you're bold. And I said, for example, I said, is there anybody in this room that has something wrong with their body right now? This woman stood up. She was shaking. She said, God told me this morning that someone was going to ask this. And she goes, and I'm about to be healed. And I was like, oh, man. I said, who wants to pray over her? She is ready. You know, and somebody went over, bang, instantly healed, stomach problems gone. And then somebody else stood up and said, I can't move the right side of my body. I can't pick up this pencil. And I said, who wants to pray? And somebody stood up and had the courage to walk over and pray. She picked up the pencil and lifted it above her head. Then she picked up a book and lifted it above her head. And she just wept. And it's like, it doesn't, everybody's waiting for God to do something. Meanwhile, like, he's tied to us. He's co-laboring with us. Like, if we don't do our end, then we don't get to see what happens on his end, you know? And if nobody, and you know what we did? This is so cool. The moment somebody said, I will do it, I said, now everybody clap. And we all started clapping because they said, I will do it. And just at the mere fact, like, we'd already clapped. We weren't going to clap for the healing. We'd already clapped for the obedience, you know? And it just makes it so much easier.
Man, that blows away my world every time I hear it. That's amazing to me. Pastor Adam, thank you so much for doing this episode. Huge blessing.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Thank you. All right, guys, awesome. We'll catch you next time on ISO Insights.